I know if I'm trying to get good with money, you should be trying to get good with money, okay? We are not our parents. We are not sitting at these jobs for 30 plus years, all right? Get Good With Money is a book that we're reading for season 19. Get it, got it good, whether it's digital, hard copy, from the library, it don't matter. Follow along, read along, do the steps, take notes, and learn something. Learn something financially, learn something about budgeting, learn something about debt, learn something about utilizing your assets, learn something about your 401k, learn something about stocks and bonds, but learn something, teach somebody, okay? Let's start the show.
Hey, Kobe.
Hi.
That's a dry.
I know.
Hi.
He's upset that his little screen time is over.
Oh, well. Good things don't last forever, my friend.
Good things always come to an end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People still outside driving in this mess.
I saw.
What happened?
I said people still outside driving in this mess. I see it outside my window right now.
Man. Y'all, I feel terrible.
Quasi.
Terrible.
This road is frozen. Stay off unless absolutely necessary.
I ordered pizza when I saw the snow coming down because I was like, by the time I get off, before the road is going to be iced.
Yeah.
That Hispanic man barely spoke English. It took him 30 minutes to come from the Marcos near me, and the Marcos near me is 12 minutes away.
I should have did that.
Called him. I said, "Are you coming?" He was like, "Sorry, little English."
Oh my God.
And then when he came to the door, he showed me his phone. He's like, "See?" He was like, "I had to drive slow." I was like, "Dang."
Everybody driving slow. And I hear something. I hear people outside yelling.
Because, so my Ring, like, notifications been going off. All the neighbors saying, don't use Evans Road. People are on the side in ditches. This is blocked off. This whole road is ice. And I'm just like, where's the preparation?
It's Snowpocalypse 2014 all over again.
That's crazy.
But nobody thought it was going to snow either.
Because this is the thing. They were so prepared last time. And when it did what it did last time, they were like, oh, it ain't going to do nothing this time. It's like y'all, Barry.
They said this time was going to be worse. And nobody was listening.
Atlanta was too busy partying up over the weekend.
Child, I feel worse.
Do you?
Yeah, I took off from work early.
No.
And I took like 2 Tylenols, and I was knocked out for like 4 freaking hours. I'm back up, and I still got a headache.
I know you was talking about how you took a nap, and then you woke up, and everything was white.
Yeah, I was cooked.
Child, it's snowing in New Orleans, too. It's snowing in Florida.
I saw.
What part of Florida? Hey.
In Pensacola?
Trump, they got inaugurated, and they opened the gates of fucking hell, bitch.
Man, that's crazy.
Man.
So
I didn't finish reading, but I will catch up.
Neither did I, but
I listened to it.
I did more notes going through 1, but I didn't get to 2 because there was so much that I wanted to write.
Yeah.
So I'm talking through it. Hi, Kobe.
Hello.
Hello.
So he didn't give. He said he gave you a real hello. He gave me a fake one.
What do you say?
Hi.
Because now he got his little flash toy. His screen time is over, so he was in his feelings.
I sent the girls to go shower.
Is their school closed tomorrow?
Yeah.
was out. I said, man, y'all motherfuckers couldn't wait to send that goddamn announcement closing the school.
Listen, because my coworker had got that announcement that her daughter's school closed. We supposed to be on a day of service tomorrow, and everybody like, nah, bitch, we ain't doing that.
I might call out tomorrow too, though. I ain't even gonna hold, especially if I ain't feeling better. Like, no.
I made an appointment for Ari in the morning. I'm gonna have to call and cancel it. Even though it's right down the street, I don't think they're gonna have the sand and stuff out by the time her appointment is. It's at 9:50.
Yeah, I got an appointment at 9 in the morning too, and I doubt I'll be going.
Yeah. He's telling me she feels like something's in her ear. It's like, girl, you are the neediest child I got. Between the rashes and this random bruise under her eye that looks like somebody knocked her out. Girl, what's going on?
What's she allergic to? Is she allergic to something?
Ari's allergic to certain pet dander, certain grass, and certain types of shellfish. And I was like, sis.
I said, I need to get an allergy test done before I get this damn cat, because I'm going to be allergic to cats and don't even know it.
I hope not.
I think Kobe allergic to cats. Well, he's talking about he want one.
I get an allergy test because I want to know what I'm allergic to in sushi.
I was going to order one off Amazon.
You what?
I was going to order Amazon allergy test off of Amazon.
I didn't know they had one. I might do it.
Me either. I went to my insurance and ran it up.
They got them because I know allergy tests are expensive when you go through insurance.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see anything for mine.
I'll see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to, I think, Allergan in Dunwoody or something.
Yeah, that's what I took, Ari.
I'm going to call my insurance company and double check.
Yeah.
I got to make a couple of doctor's appointments anyway.
Yeah. I ain't had no copay either.
Who you got for insurance?
Well... At that time, I had Aetna, but now I have Anthem.
Hey, people out there is arguing.
You move your car. Well, I can't move my car.
Girl, for the longest, y'all know how my road is in front of my house?
Mm-hmm.
For a while, that shit was a one-way lane now. They just turned it back into a two-way.
I'm in the cul-de-sac, so I don't see nobody rolling through here.
You know, outside of my condo, I face the main road, so I can see the road.
Yeah.
I hope people don't start bucking on their ass.
I don't want to hear anybody sliding down the damn thing and crashing shit.
I wish they sold off-brand cars. I caught me a hell dog.
Lord.
In every group of friends, you have a couple that's like private eye nigga on top of it. For me, it's Casey and Chrissy because was it yesterday?
Crying, bitch.
Man, yesterday I posted a post on Cozy Room. No, it was Sunday. I posted a post on Cozy Room about like what I was doing in the day. And I put in there running errands, laundry, and watching movies with my man. I pressed post. Got back in the video of me recording. Chrissy texts me like, excuse me? Watching with your man? Is he in town?
Oh my God.
What? I just posted it.
Right. The post only 1 second old.
I'm just like, damn, you ain't answer. She's like, you ain't answer the question. I was just like, oh my God. I was like, girl. But, you know.
Look at this one.
Y'all be serving y'all purpose. Okay. Today was, did you not read or not? Okay.
And it was a shit show. Not
just for this book, but like work wise, like these people would just like really annoy me.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. My best shit. It wasn't even 8 o'clock yet before I got pissed off.
And then it was like an agent that literally said to me, that's Ari's favorite word, by the way.
Oh, literally.
She said, you know, maybe I just needed your hand to walk me through what's already in front of my face.
Oh, bitch, get off my line.
Thank you! What? And she proceeded to read to herself out loud what I already told her at the beginning of the call for the last 8 minutes. Mm-mm. You don't need me. Your answer is in front of you. Let me go. I just like, y'all gotta stop.
I just want people that, like, I know I overthink stuff, and I just want people to just be honest with themselves. Like, hey, I might be overthinking it. Can you help me with X, Y, and Z?
Uh-huh.
And I'm the type of person where if you come on a call and you say, I mean, I kind of know what's going on, but I'm just calling to see if you could tell me something different. So as soon as I'm ready to speak, I say, okay, so how about, for starters, you tell me what you think is going on?
Right.
Because I'm not going to do this game with you where you know exactly what's going on and you got me figuring out shit where there's no notes on this account. I'm just like, come on. But
real quick, Chantal, segue. When is the next time you in the office?
Next week.
Next week? Okay.
So they changed it this year, the last week of every month is our team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know. We can meet up and I can get you that.
Okay. And I'm going to bring, what you call it, toy.
Toy?
Yeah. One of your kids left their toy at my house.
Oh, girl.
And when you come, I'll be forgetting it. I'm just like, oh, yeah. We no longer have pets.
Aww. Oh.
My brother called me last night and he was like, I'm talking about late. It must have been like 11:40 something. And you know I was on the phone with homeboy. Mm-hmm. He was like, I said my brother's calling me. In his mind, he's probably like, bitch, that's a goddamn lie. My brother's calling me. But he didn't say that. So I got off on the line and I was like, what's up? He was like, nothing. When you move into North Carolina. I said, what? I was like, I'm not moving to North Carolina. I said, we talked about that, but I already told him. I know what it's like for one of my kids not to have their dad around. I'm not trying to make it two.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, okay. I said, we talked about compromising and meeting in the middle. Maybe South Carolina, you know, or something closer.
He wouldn't move to Atlanta?
I don't know.
I don't blame him if he wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blame him if he doesn't, but what kind of work does he do?
Construction. So, like,
Atlanta's big for that.
They're always building something. But it's more so, like, where would he want to build his house? Versus what he wants to do, which is have, like, a flagship store in North Carolina. It's kind of like, why would you build your house far from that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm one of those people. I gotta live close to the airport in case some shit pop off.
Yeah.
And the airport in North Carolina is there's one, but it's not close to him. And then there's one in Raleigh that he has to drive to, which I don't like. That's not
close. Charlotte, no.
Charlotte, we didn't talk about where in South Carolina, but we talked about South Carolina.
Charlotte's in South Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, Charlotte, North Carolina.
I thought so, too.
North Carolina has a Charlotte, and South Carolina has a Charlotte.
Really?
Oh. I don't know where they do that. And both of them got a Jacksonville.
Oh, I ain't know that.
I know that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We talked about it. And so he was talking about that, and we were talking about his dogs. I said, where you put your dogs? It's going to be cold. He was like, Don't you put on a fur when you're cold outside? I said,
no.
I said, I ain't got fur money. He was like, well, I just make them be in the cage, 3 to a cage, so they can keep each other warm, and I put more hay in there. I said, okay.
Aww. What kind of dogs you got?
Those,
they can help play for you.
I forgot how you pronounce the Belgian somethings.
Oh, okay.
And they're pretty big. And then he have the puppies. The puppies grow like, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
The cage is big enough. So he was like, they just keep each other warm. And I kind of like, I padded around the cage so no breeze can blow through it.
Oh, I mean, I don't believe in domestic dogs living outside, but that's just me.
But he country and he Jamaican, so there's that.
Oh, you talking about your brother?
Yeah, he. You can't tell them nothing.
Oh yeah, nah.
Rob got a dog.
Animals belong outside.
Yeah, Rob got a dog. He has an English bulldog. He fat. Oh. His name is Nip. I call him Fatty.
Yeah, all English bulldogs need to be inside the house because they can't take care of themselves like that.
He snore like a grown man.
Like, he got to clean the wrinkles every damn day. That would stop me from getting an English bulldog because I'm too lazy.
What?
You got to clean their wrinkles out every day.
Oh, yeah. He said he stink. I said, did you clean them today? He was like, no. I was like, you ain't going to the same. Same thing with the Shar Pei's. I want one, but they said you got to clean them between their rolls.
Shar Pei's are aggressive.
Hmm.
You know why they got those wrinkles, right?
Why?
Because they were bred for fighting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they have the wrinkles. So, like, if a dog was to, like, bite on them, they can still maneuver.
Hmm.
Same thing with an English bulldog. That's why they got the wrinkles, too.
Anya always be, like, holding on to my back rolls. She's like, why you got these here? Are these forever? I said, something. In my mind, I'm like, something for my man to hold on to you.
Oh, you don't want to have that.
I even probably be like, yeah. She'd be like, Mom, please, that's inappropriate.
Right.
I get to Grandma, I already be with it.
Because I get a mama.
You should be in here arguing. I was like, have you ever kissed Rob? And I was like, yeah. And my mom, Ari was like, of course she did. And then Anya was like, did he like that? And then here go Ari. Of course he did. It's our mom. Like, y'all need to stop. Okay.
Them days are two polar opposites.
Mind your business. I know who the lit kid is.
The crazy thing about it is they're both completely opposite, but they both act like you.
I know. One is like the shy version of me that acts like they're not thinking what they're thinking, and the other one is just like loud about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how Ari asked me, she came in, she was like, Mom, can you get your vagina pierced?
Oh my God.
I said, yes, but why are we talking about that right when you come in from school? I said, what was the conversation before this? Nothing. I was just asking. No, Ari, where did you get that from?
Right.
I was just asking.
Okay.
I'm just like, girl. Here go Chrissy. I text Chrissy. She was like, tell her I did it once in Louisiana. I said, I'm not telling her that. Okay? She don't even know.
Chrissy.
Give her no ideas.
Chrissy the little auntie.
Exactly. I said, I'm not telling her that. Mm-mm. She don't need no ideas. She don't need to know it's possible.
Right.
I'm just like,
ugh. Yeah, tell her that she could get it done, though. Well, that you can get it done.
Right. I'm just like, no, like, it could be one of those kids on the bus that got access to a phone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They bound to see anything, which is crazy, but the internet.
My nieces.
What are girls doing?
Yeah.
They all right.
March.
They all right, as far as I know. They don't talk to me no more.
Oh, okay. So cool now for auntie.
Yeah, they want to talk to their friends.
How old are they now?
What's her birthday and Christmas time come?
Jade turned 12 next month.
Mm.
Peyton just turned 11 in November.
Oh, my pain gonna be 15 Friday.
Mm. Yeah, they getting big. They can't wait for us to move though.
Really?
Of course not.
Yeah, they are excited.
You're talking all that shit. You ain't never gonna see them.
I think I will see them if I move back.
Yeah, I know. I'm just playing. I'm talking about like the grown people. Mm-hmm. That shit, you never see them when you move back.
I know.
Never chill see your nieces though. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you. I'm sad to see you go though.
I'm excited too. I'm looking forward to the change of scenery.
Oh, I feel like it's gonna be the same thing, but okay.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be a change. Cause it won't be like
easy to shit your ass up.
I know. It's
gonna be the like, same thing, but okay.
I think it's gonna be different.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing. You moving what to Houston or outside of Houston or Dallas?
I'm moving outside of Dallas.
I just feel like the people that got tired of Atlanta all moved to Texas.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, for me, that's also like home though.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so.
They said all the rich African men moved to Texas.
But see, I'm not moving back to any of my homes. Like, I refuse to move back to New Orleans, and I refuse to move back to Miami.
Yeah. I ain't going back to my hometown now. I cannot go back to my hometown.
There's no state that I feel like is home, though.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Same.
Even, like, Philly, like, I go there, I'm over it in, like, 24 hours.
Yeah,
it's depressing, yeah. Especially like now, because people don't change and people don't care about nothing.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel depressed here.
Oh, go ahead, Kiki. I'm sorry.
I feel depressed here. Like, I just wake up and be like, over it. It's over life, over day to day, over. Just don't want to be here. But you know, I could move to Texas tomorrow and feel the same way.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask you this?
Hmm.
And is it because you were here by yourself, all the stuff that happened?
All of what that happened?
Like that whole year that you had Kobe, like everything that went down?
No, because when I first had Kobe, like I still like living here.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past 2 years, it's just like, the daily routine, like I don't know. I'm just over it, and I feel like I don't have like people around me consistently,
mm-hmm.
like consistent like support. And it's like I don't like the only people that can really give me that is like my family,
mm-hmm.
and I won't see them like every day or every weekend or you know every week for that matter, but. You know, I can get in the car and, you know, drive 2 hours and go to my grandfather's house or go to my dad's house every other weekend. Or, you know, my sisters will come over and kick it, you know, a few days a week or every other weekend. Like, I feel like isolated on an island here.
Okay.
Now. Thank you, Kobe. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's just waking up and, I don't know, and I don't want like I don't want Kobe to get used to this. Like I don't want him to just feel like, okay, well, damn, all I have is my mom. You know, it's like because he really doesn't have like just me. Like it don't feel the same. It don't feel the same, and it's starting to weigh on my mental health and getting depressed and just waking up, and I'm just like. Over it before the day even starts, I'm over it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get that.
So yeah, we'll see. And who knows? It may not work. I may end up moving to Idaho.
What is in Idaho?
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, it don't matter, like, the location, you know? Like, it just depends, but...
Yeah, it's like you could get there and still feel the same way.
Exactly. So, at least I'm, like, trying it. Like, I'm trying to do, you know, do something different.
Mm. I get that.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this show and enjoy this episode. I know I'm dropping gems for y'all. I know I am, because that's just what I do. I appreciate every listen and every download and every share. So if you see me clipping on social media, share that shit, because I appreciate it. Speaking of sharing, not only are you supporting this podcast, but you're supporting all the other podcasts that I do that can be found on shambipodden.com. That is a website where I put everything that I'm working on, whether it's books, whether it's merch, whether it's links to support me or support the people who support me. It can be found on that website. Also, there is a monthly, I want to say it's like a newsletter, but it's not really a newsletter because I'm not emailing y'all with y'all spam emails that y'all don't even check anyway. But if you want any updates regarding podcasting tips or what I have going on, every month I give a updated, detailed what's going on with me info on that website. I also blog on that website, so I might create different articles on that website. Sharing those links helps support me. So if you're looking to support me, do that. I also do other podcasts that can be found on there. Each podcast has their own page. I am working on a lot of other collaborations this year, and you can find me on some people's live shows this year. You know, just staying busy, Shambi Podding, okay? You can email me about business, okay? My email can be found on that website, because I know how some people get, okay? I am here to create and to share knowledge. That is what I do. Everyone around me is great. Therefore, if you listen to me, you are searching for greatness, and I appreciate you. I hope you enjoy the show, and don't forget to follow me, add me, and check out Shannon Pods on YouTube. Sometimes I do video record my episodes, but not all the time, because I'm just not that girl. My audience is not on YouTube, but I know some people like the YouTube spaces. But back to the show.
I guess for me, because like growing up in Miami, all I had was my siblings.
Yeah.
I just had my older brother, my twin brother, and I didn't hang out with them because they did their own thing.
Oh.
Like, I didn't have any cousins down in Miami, so I just made friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just friends are like, always my trial and error, because like I made good friends and I had bad ones.
And you know, my friends are here too, but not with y'all. But a lot of the dynamic in my friendship has changed. Like, I don't even see some of them one or two times a year, if that. You know, and it's not anybody's fault. Like, everybody busy. Everybody got shit going on. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, life got real for a lot of us after 2020. Mm-hmm. So it's not anybody's fault. It's just something that just happens, you know, naturally.
I get that.
So yeah.
The other thing too, I am pro cultivating and keeping the friendships that are realistic.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm not going to be able to see you every day. I'm not going to be able to talk to you every day. I'm not going to be able to see you every week. Your birthday is going to come up. You're going to have an event. I might not be able to come, but I can acknowledge you. You can have access to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean we have beef, right?
Right.
I get so irritated by seeing grown women really get really nasty and just have like this wall up with other women that
they over a damn birthday.
Over a birthday, over a wedding, over just any stupid thing. And I'm just like, I'm the type of person that if we stop talking as friends, you'll never be able to go to somebody and be like, I don't know why Shan stopped talking to me.
Yeah.
But to come to you directly and have a conversation about what I need to talk about, I'm going to listen if you take ownership or accountability for whatever the issue was. We're going to resolve it or we're not going to resolve it. And then you're going to know why we stopped talking. But this illusion that grown people who should be mature create to have beef and then still be in their circle. Like, let's say me and Casey have like some falling out, and later Casey's father passes away. I don't talk to Casey. I don't go out with Casey. We haven't talked in years, but I find myself at Casey's dad's funeral. But I'm not speaking to Casey while I'm there. I'm not doing no shit like that. But there's a lot of people that do that. And I'm just
Wow. And I understand that. Because, like, so, using that example, Chantal, if you did that, I'll knock the shit out of you.
Like, period.
Why are you here? You know what I'm saying? And people do that, and
I can have a face full of tears in my fucking ass, could barely stand up, and I would look at you and say, bitch, what the fuck is you doing here?
Right.
No, seriously.
And why people do that? Why you insert yourself somewhere where you know you haven't even cleaned up our feelings here to make it in the clear? Like, that's messy to me.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
But people like that kind of fucking shit, though.
Yeah.
So dramatic like that.
Right.
But yeah. And y'all know, I didn't have no plans on spending the rest of my life here.
Yeah, we know that.
I didn't say I was going to be here forever now. And I'll be back and forth because, you know, y'all here and stuff like that. And, you know. It'll always be part of my story.
Now I have like 3 reasons to be in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. And Atlanta gave me my greatest gift because my son was born here. So you already know.
Girl, I have an Atlanta baby. She's so weird. Yeah. And in the trap, but she can't know.
Yeah. North side baby. Mm. Your cousins are in Dallas. Or somewhere else.
She in Dallas.
Mm.
Her kids, her grandkids. I need to go out there and see them.
Mm. Yeah, I'll be out there. And I'll be 2 hours away from my family's. So it's a happy medium.
Yeah.
For peace.
Not too far away.
Yeah, because you know being around family ain't all of what it could be either. So.
It really ain't.
So that's a happy medium. My other sister's already there.
Oh, she moved back. I thought she was in Tennessee. She moved back.
Yeah, she moved back. She came back last December, November, at the end of last year.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so y'all are back over there then.
Yeah, they all like, but now we're just waiting on you. It's like, oh my God.
That's manipulation. Don't feed into that.
Hmm?
I said, that's manipulation, girl. Don't feed into that.
Seriously. Seriously.
Are y'all ready to get in this book?
Let's get into it.
Hey. Welcome, guys. Welcome back to So What Pays You On Bid. Okay. My name is Shan. That's Casey. And that's Kiki. And we're here discussing a good book because we want to get good with what? With money. All right. What do we need? Money. And this is by Tiffany Alashe, the Budgetista. This is episode 2. We're discussing chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 1 is called Before We Begin, Get to Know Financial Wholeness. Chapter 2 is 10% Whole, which is budget building. We didn't all finish the chapters. But we will be getting through the chapters summary wise. Okay. I have notes. I'm going to do my notes up until I didn't finish my notes. So for this is not even chapter 1, the beginning of the book. She was talking about how she was a preschool teacher in 2009. The recession happened and she got to a point where she could not afford her priority things. And like a lot of people, they were struggling to decide what bills they were going to pay. And she talked about her parents being from Nigeria and coming here and really focusing on making a foundation for their family. And her dad always had conversations with her about money. And she talked about her first money talk with her dad and how things cost money and choices have a direct impact on the quality of life, which is very much true. Me personally, I sat with that because I find that I am, I get antsy when making money choices and having a lot of things that I need to do that's been waiting on money to do them. Mm-hmm. And I'm being that I am limited, but I want to make good decisions. I have two kids. I have college private loan debt, meaning if the feds do anything that does not pertain to me, they cannot help me. Mm-hmm. And I have a job that doesn't give me the best options at saving anything or putting anything to the side. And I want options and I want emergency money. And I can't start thinking about emergency money and having options if I can't move around what's already on my plate that needs money now. And so moving on from that, Tiffany talks about setting clear financial goals and understanding why you're dealing with the money issues you're dealing with and knowing exactly what your challenges are financially. Because if you know what your challenges are financially, then you can start to question, why can't you get to the goals that you're setting? And then dissecting those to fix them so you can get to the goals that you're setting, which is common sense. Then she talks about her experience where she had someone who was supposed to financially help her, aka Jack the Thief. JTT is what she abbreviated the person in the book. They were supposed to help her invest her money that she had. She did mention that cash advances on credit cards are a bad sign. So if I know it's tax season coming up, you're going to see a lot of people say, if you need to advance on your taxes and you need the money now, and we can do your taxes and see what you have coming in, they might ask for a certain percentage of your taxes if they go ahead and loan you the money now that you're supposed to be getting on your taxes. So just be mindful of that. A lot of people love to scam and do things like that. Do not give people your social security number. Do not give your kids' social security number to people who quote unquote do taxes, because the shit show that happens after people use your social security number to commit any type of fraud on your kids is a lifetime of sending in your tax shit manually, having a particular code to do your tax shit. And it's a really annoying process. So I wouldn't recommend anybody do that. With what she was talking about being 35K in a hole, JTT running off with her money that she wanted to invest. And even though they had a contract, he ran off with her money. So she had $52,000 in student loan debt. She had a mortgage that she was behind on, and she was 35K in credit card debt. Thinking she was going to have money to do something with. So that was the issue at hand. And I was like, bitch, I would be crying too. So in this, she was telling herself, why wasn't I listening to my gut? And a lot of us find ourselves in situations, whether it's jobs, relationships, or just moving money or being reluctant to give people money, and we don't listen to our gut, and then we hate ourselves for it later. Yep. She was going through that. She talked about having a friend named Linda basically come through and let her know, like, okay, I hear your problems. Is that it? Is that all? And she said that because in her mind, in Tiffany's mind, she had this illusion like her problems on her plate was so big and so crazy that nobody else would know. And she was like, girl, you know how many friends and people I know in worse financial situations than you?
Right.
And sometimes it's not that, oh, I need to know somebody's doing worse than me to feel a little bit better. But sometimes it's the reality of the situation that you need to hear. We all have problems. We all have financial shit that we want to take care of. But we also know what it feels like to be swallowed up by the idea in the mind of, what do I have to pay today? Like, who wants to wake up and be like, what do I have to pay today? What number keeps calling me that I have to block? And how am I going to have the money to do it? And I only got 2 more hours to come up with. Sometimes you're just not going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your lesson is going to be in the consequences of not being able to have it and what's going to happen next. Sometimes you do feel like, okay, let me call these people up and let them know that I'm not dodging them because I'm avoiding it. I'm dodging you because I don't have any solutions for what I know you need from me. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's some type of financial relief that they'll go ahead and put you on. Maybe they might lower the APR on the card so they're not charging you so much interest over a period of time. But technically, you're going to have to come up with a number that you're willing to give these people consistently to stick by for them to keep you on some sort of plan. And sometimes you just want to know what your options are. And for me, how I like to get people off my back is just being direct with them.
Mm-hmm.
The situation, this is what I have. This is what I can do. Is that something you'll be open to doing? Yay or nay? But what we're not going to do, you're not going to have my blood pressure up. You're not going to be chasing me like you ain't got no goddamn sense. And I'm not going to be giving you a false number that you're not about to be getting. So she talked about people who have this issue with their identity being their finances. And that made me think about like people who work on Wall Street. Like you have all this opportunity, this great job, all this financial money access, but even having a bigger number amount or a bigger salary, it doesn't necessarily mean that your financial problems go away. If I was making $400K per year, who's to say that I'm not also going to be drowning at $400K per year? Because I thought because I'm making $400K per year, I could have this type of house. I thought I could have this type of vacation. I thought I could buy this type of clothes. I'm drowning, but on a bigger level. And I think a lot of people who may make a greater salary, if you don't understand how to use your money and live under what you're actually making, you'll also be drowning, but on a bigger scale. And so a lot of times when I see people with a great house or a nice yard or just living a certain life, I'm just like, I would not want the type of problems they're stressing about at the end of the day and early in the morning. Because I know it's nasty, and I know that's the type of stress that have people kill themselves in their nice car in their garage or jump off of their building at work because they just can't handle all of that burden that they put on themselves because they thought that they could. And so that's why I think this book, no matter what your salary is or how much you think you're in a hole, will help people kind of like break it down like, what is it exactly that I need to do to try to chip away at this big issue?
Because I think with that, a lot of it is of poor money management.
Exactly.
To make more money, but if you don't know how to manage the money you already got, how are you going to manage more money when you get it?
Yeah, you're just going to put yourself in a bigger hole.
Mm. Right. And a lot of people say that when it comes to like Black people and reparations, like most of us are just going to get that money back because we don't all have the education on how to make a big lump sum of money work for us in the long run. But spending money is not hard. Keeping money is. making sure we help make money do something for us long term is. And so she was also talking about when you teach, you learn twice, which I thought was very smart, which brought me to like this whole mindset of Montessori school, having different kids in a room with all ages where you, as a teacher, you could teach it, or you can have kids around other kids that probably didn't get it, but because they see this kid to the left or the right, they get it faster. So that made more sense to me. Then got into chapter one where she's talking about financial wholeness, which is basically the fundamentals. And she was talking about the plan, the do, and the review. Basically, the plan is the bigger picture of what your goal is. The do is you actually doing the work and being productive at what you're trying to have for your goal. And the review is seeing what she's talking about. And if you have the physical book, in the back of the book, she has charts for you to either copy them on a scanner or make your own chart. And she has a website, www.getgoodwithmoney.com, where you can see this stuff online and print it off if you want to. So if you don't physically have the book, you can go to the website and print it off if you want to. She said that she updates it. Mm-hmm. I didn't go on there. I don't know what it looks like, but she does provide that as a resource in the book. She talks about true freedom financially, where she had like a large cash reserve. She talked about not having a clear plan on her retirement. She talked about not having an updated estate plan. Let me tell you something. I am nowhere near having the best retirement. I am nowhere near having an estate plan. I don't own property. I've always rented. And she talked about wanting professional advice and not having professional advice and thinking she wanted like a financial planner, and the person basically laughing at her because she had this money set aside for like savings, but she didn't have shit for a plan of retirement. And how they were like basically laughing at her for not basically having that set up. But I feel like a lot of people in their 30s and 40s start feeling like the pressure of, okay, in 5 years, I'm going to be this. In 5 years, I'm going to be 50. And I don't have this, and I should have this by now. And people around me that's my age, they have this car, they have this house, they could take these trips. I feel like your age does not determine what you should have.
Right.
And at a certain point, we have to stop measuring ourselves based upon our age and start being realistic about your experience. Now we have teenagers that are more financially ready than someone in their late 30s. Mm-hmm. Now we have kids that are completely set up for the rest of their lives and don't really have to have a job ever. And they, maybe they're an actor or actress, or they have their own channel. Like, learning and having can change this year for you compared to what it was last year. And it's not about your age. It's about your knowledge and your experience and your willfulness to understand I have some horrible habits. And if I'm not honest about the habits that I have, nothing about my life is going to change.
Exactly.
And so she goes over the 10 steps for finances. Number one is budget building. Number two is saving like a squirrel. Number three is digging yourself out of debt. Number four is score high, focusing on your credit. And number five is learning how to earn. Those are like the five most important ones to start you off. And then 6 through 10 is more focused on protecting your wealth. You have it. Number six is investing like an insider. Number seven is getting good with insurance. Number eight is growing richish, your net worth. Number 9 is picking your money team, basically the people that keep you on target with your money. I think that's super important because we hear all the time how a Rihanna accountant fucked up her money. Steve Harvey's accountant kept taking his checks but never cashing them, never doing his taxes. That's what got him messed up in taxes. So it's really not about if you make a lot of money, you won't have problems. It's really about making a lot of money, having the right people handling your money, and having somebody to check the person that's handling your money. Because if you don't, the IRS and the government, like, this is your name on this shit, regardless of who's hired. And number 10 is leaving a legacy. And I think social media does a great job of painting this picture, like, all you got to do is make money and have a lot of money and put it to the side and set up your family and have a legacy. It's a whole bunch of different steps between having a lot of money and setting a legacy, especially if you don't have the right things in place. And that comes with understanding and really learning how people protect the money that they have to work for them so they don't have to physically do the work. The next thing she talked about is a good mindset. And she was talking about how your money influences and your patterns and looking at the results of your patterns. So basically, why you need it, why you feel like you need this item that you're getting. Do you actually need it? And 3, a month from now or a year from now, what will it help? When that next bill come around, is what you spent the money on going to help you with that bill? If it's not, you basically put yourself in a hole and you owe people that you knew you couldn't be pay back before you purchased this item. And I think a lot of people do that. A lot of people maybe get a credit card and they're just like, okay, I have this money to spend on this. I'm going to just put it on this. But after you start putting and putting and putting on a card that's a loan, you're going to have to pay that back and then some. And eventually it's going to get to a point where you cannot use money that is not yours anymore. We need you to pay us back. Most of the time when that card bill comes around and they're just like, yeah, I know you spent $300 this month, but we want $830. What you about to do? Are you going to pay your rent or are you going to pay off the credit card?
I pay my rent.
Yeah. Period.
And one thing about these credit card companies, they don't want you to pay before time and they don't want you to pay it off. They love when you're late. Okay. And people could say that too.
Bank love people like that. The bank love people like that.
People could say this to you till they blew in the face and people still gonna apply and get the credit card and have that temporary point of relief, but it's not going to help you in the long run. Because if you had a bad habit with the first card, you're gonna have a bad habit with the second card. If you had a bad habit with those two cards and you get another card, eventually that's gonna be a bad habit, but it's gonna be a more expensive habit.
I'm guilty.
Okay, me too.
Me too.
Okay, but at a certain point, it's kind of like, do you want to be that person at the register that got 10 credit cards in their wallet? Because I've seen it, and I'm just like, that's nasty work. That's nasty work.
It's nasty work when you had all 10 because you don't know how much money is on them.
What? And they'd be like, put 10 on this, put 30 on this. Put 50 on this, and what's the balance? Okay, I think I had that. What? It's crazy. And I'm just like, no, ma'am.
But you know what, though? I think a lot of people are just like trying to survive through the day that they're not even thinking like long term wise.
They can't. They got shit going on and they just want to know something is temporarily handled and out their face. But in the long run, I think that just comes back around to bite you because you're not eating away at anything that you owe. You're adding to.
Yeah.
So,
Y'all hit Robin Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And,
Go back and rob Paul and pay Peter.
Paul about to beat you up because Paul charging more.
And Paul is also working with the IRS.
Yes.
Good luck.
The second thing she talked about is establishing your own financial voice and using it to take charge. So,
now we're in a polar vortex.
Huh? What happened?
I said, now we're in a polar vortex.
What's that?
There's coal everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, shit. When I saw California having snow like this in my backyard, I said, that's crazy.
What? So the wildfires are done? They got snow now?
Yeah. That's crazy.
What the hell is going on in California?
That's nasty work. Mm-hmm. But all right, so I already said what I had to say, child. Trump got inaugurated and I opened up the gates of hell, bitch.
Is he already starting this shit?
Nobody is
safe. I'm talking about the weather, baby. We in the end of days.
Nobody is
safe. Like, that man just signing shit like he had a damn house closing or something.
Listen, okay, sign here. Okay, sign here. All right, initial right there. All right, great.
Right. She was saying how a lot of people have this mindset that they need to work hard for their money, when in reality, and I think more so in our generation, we are at a point where it's just like, no, my money need to work for me.
Right.
And if you're around older folks, some of them have disdain for you realizing your money needs to work for you, not your body. And they're just like, no, I was hardworking and I did this and I did that. But you also at an age where you should be traveling and you can't travel because you have to be here for your doctor's appointment because your body hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a choice and it's a mindset that you just really have to narrow down and say, okay, what do I need to do to make sure my money works for me and I don't physically have to be here to do the work? So she talked about making different decisions. And then number three, she talked about finding a reason for gratitude. And it's mainly like, me personally, I think there are days where I'm just like, yeah, my life could be a lot better. But I also purposely don't go out the house and do shit where I feel like I'm going to have to spend just to sit and realize that, what do I have? What options in here can the girls do that most people may not be able to do? And just have gratitude in the fact that I have the ability to have these things. I have the ability to allow them to experience these things. Looking at what I have and saying, I have more than enough for what I need to do. And I think sometimes, if you're always in a mindset of getting, you never see and appreciate what you already have.
Right.
And you never see and appreciate the fact that, yeah, you spent all this money on this sofa that you'll never fucking sit on. How about you sit on it?
Right.
How about you spend a weekend eating the food that you have in the house and sitting on your couch and watching that extra TV you bought because at some point you felt like you needed to buy it. And it just allows you to just pause and realize, like, maybe what you thought you needed, you didn't need. Just because places be like, we have a family plan. And if you get on the family plan and you get everybody in your house a phone, your bill will be this. Do you actually need to be on a family plan, or do the most important people in the household just need a phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not that mature yet.
And I think a lot of people need to realize, like, just because something is available or it seems like a good deal doesn't necessarily mean you need more. Maybe you just need one. Maybe you can utilize something in your house and another room in your house and shit will work out for what it need to work out for now. It's not a need for me to go out and get a brand new washing machine. Let me go to the scratch and dent place, or let me have a conversation with the people around me that may know somebody where I could get something cheaper than buying it in full. Because nobody prepares you for the real cost of buying a fucking appliance brand new.
Hell no.
Hey, that shit is nasty work.
And that's just for the appliance. You still want to get a warranty and shit.
Right? It's just like, Jesus. Because I remember when I bought the new washing machine, my brother was like, why did you buy a new washing machine? I could have talked to my guy and he would have got you something for cheaper. I said, shut your ass up. Jesus. I need to know these things. But the next thing she was talking about is living for joy. Which I sometimes feel like people who can live for joy have to have a certain level of fuck it.
Yeah.
Because to wake up and just choose joy over the chaos, over people needing you, over your somewhere where you don't want to be, it takes a lot of willpower that I feel like I'm constantly working on. And I talked about this too on another pod where I was just like, sometimes it sucks being the joyful person in a workplace because then people assume that you don't have shitty days or people assume that you're never in a bad mood and they don't give you that grace when you do. And I'm just like, damn, I don't want to be on for people at work. I just want to come in here and be invisible. And sometimes when you're the one that has the joy or is always key at work, you're not allowed to have that. And I think sometimes people help create a Robin Williams. You know what I'm saying? How in all spaces, Robin Williams brought a lot of joy to people. And he was such a great actor. And his personality just comes up really like giving and just warm, but in his solitude, that man was depressed.
Yeah, he was suffering.
And I feel like people who get treated like that, also people assume that they just have it all together.
Yes.
Like they don't look like they're struggling on the outside because they live a certain way or they have a certain amount of money. But in isolation and solitude, like, you don't know what they're going through mentally.
Right. Like the other day I was at my brother's shop and I just went just to go. And my brother was like moving different like transmissions from cars. And he just like walked in his shop and he was just like, I hate my life. I'm just like, no, you don't say that. He was like, I do. And in my mind, I'm just like, nigga, ain't this what you wanted though? Like, I've never seen my brother not work. Like, I know my brother came here from Jamaica, worked at the airport, worked for National Rental Car, worked for the another mechanic company, then worked for another mechanic company, and then it wasn't until he moved to Georgia that he got his shop where he partnered with a friend. And then that didn't work. And then he got another shop and partnered with a friend and that didn't work. And then it took him so long to get the shop that he has now. And he got that with his wife. And it's like you spend all your time trying to get this goal of what you think you want. And it's still like this weight of, I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mind is just like, is it I fucking hate the pressure of this or how everything's on me or how people come to me or I have to deal with the different mechanisms of having my own business?
I feel a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
because it's not going to be like perfect all the time. Like you're going to have those bumps in the road.
Yeah, because last night he was calling me. He was like, I just have to change some stuff. Like these people, you know, bring their cars to me for a diagnostics. I run the diagnostics. I tell them what's wrong, and they don't give me a green light on fixing it, or they don't want me to fix it, and they don't come pick their shit up. So most of the time, I end up sitting where their car is taking up space and I could be working on some other shit. And he's just like, I'm just really going to have to start charging them a holding fee.
Yeah, he's going to have to put like some type of procedure in place for that.
Yes, yeah. I told him.
To hold people accountable. Boundaries in business needs to, to occur as well.
Dealerships don't play that. Dealerships call you and be like, hey, this is what's going on. This is how much it costs.
I don't care
if you push this shit up out of here. Get it out of here.
And what you can do is it's gonna be $150 a day for your car to sit on my lot.
Then $150 a day, and if you don't come pick it up, it's my car.
Period. Yeah, boundaries. He just set some boundaries down. That's it.
Yeah. And so it's so funny that if you're a person in your personal life where you can't set boundaries with people because you want to be nice or give money, when you run a business, you can't be that. You have to put your foot down. So I think even at, what is he, 48? He's learning still, you know? And I think at times he doesn't want to be that guy where you just like mad at him because you got to pay this or you're charged this. But I know he feels like he has to do it. And sometimes I feel like that's his fight too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I tell people, you maybe think you want to work for yourself, but you really don't, because you have to be willing to be a villain for your goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She talked about surrounding yourself with positivity and accountability. I feel like, for the most part, I don't have anybody around me that's not accountable for their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people are accountable for their bullshit and they'll talk about it and they'll just deal with what those problems are. And I feel like when people call me and tell me things, I can have a realistic conversation with them about, but you knew that though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did that because you wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Own it. But there's a lot of people that have friends that will be like, I'm going to back you on your wrong, whether you're wrong or right. And I feel like sometimes that backfires. Because when do you choose to turn that on and off? And do you turn that on when it's about other people? And then when you and that person has a problem, are you allowing them not to have accountability because that's your friend?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I feel like sometimes the people around us might stunt our growth because I don't want to have people around me that make me feel good about where I'm wrong. I want to have people that call me out so I can get right or say, well, Shan, realistically, you could do this, but you haven't been doing this. And you know you need to do this, so what's the problem? What's stopping you? And I feel like I will grow better with somebody calling it a thing than somebody being like, yeah, they're wrong for that. Yeah, I wanna do that. I understand what you did. And I'm just like, dog, I know when I'm being stubborn. I know when I'm making a problem bigger than it needs to be. And I know when I'm dragging my feet. And so that's why I'm just like, I don't mind people around me being accountable, and I don't mind being accountable because I know what I'm doing when I'm doing it. I just need people around me that's about that shit also. Then she talked about in chapter 2, whole budget building. That's what I didn't get to, but I'm gonna breeze through it. The plan is basically to learn how to create and maintain and automate your budget. I am nowhere near that.
Nope.
Because
if I'm being honest, when she was talking about budgeting, that shit kind of just went over my head.
It's so hard to budget.
Because it's like, I know what I have coming in,
mm-hmm.
and I know what I have coming out. But when it gets to like, how much do you spend on coffee every day? How much do you spend on groceries every day? And this is kind of like, nigga, that shit varies.
It does. It really does. And when you have children, like, okay, they need spring clothes and shoes and entertainment. Like, hey, all those, yeah. I feel like budgeting only comes into handy when you're talking about your fixed expenses.
Yeah.
But even shit like your power bill, like, depending on how much you use, that shit can change over a month. You know, like, it's like, I don't know. It's hard to stick to it.
Yeah. I have a budget book that I've started but never consistently kept up. And I think budgeting works for people who are already under what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Budgeting doesn't really help when you're like at the max of what's needed from you. Because eventually you're going to get to a point where you're seeing where you're using a credit card because you don't have the money to do something with. So technically you're going to have to start calculating, how much did I actually spend with interest on this credit card? So now, are you budgeting or are you just doing math? So,
like, budgeting only works for people, like, the only people that really get budgeting like that are people who have like degrees or like are advanced in finance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, for instance, with work, the agents that I talk to that get really like, oh my God, this customer, their accountant, and they do their bills to the cent. And they're saying the math is off, and I'm just trying to help them understand. And those are the people, because math is like a puzzle for them. They enjoy shit. I don't enjoy shit like that.
Like that.
So let me just read up on this when I'm ready. And right. So just how I'm going to take in the information she's giving. So on the do list, she says, you know, first you make a money in list, how much money you have coming in, whether it's from your salary, whether it's from your side business, or maybe you do extra service shit on the side, all your money coming in. And then she said, make a money out list. That would be all of the things that you know you're going to spend that month going out of the house. I mean, it's gone. It's gone money. It's not money you're keeping. Then she said, calculate how much each expense costs monthly. The next thing, calculate your beginning monthly savings, aka tears and tissues time. What? Then she said, assign control categories to your expenses. So maybe that's just like set numbers. Like, maybe you know what your home insurance is, you know what your renters is, you know what your car insurance is, and it doesn't fluctuate. And then she said, reduce your expenses as needed to look for ways to increase your income, then recalculate your savings. Number 7, separate your funds and then get automated. My life is nowhere near automated. I have my car insurance on automated up until the date stopped making sense to where I was getting money. And so I took it off of there. And even taking your shit off automated adds more money to what you have to pay.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with that. Going through the chapter, she breaks down that list. So if you want to know detail-wise how to do that list, it's going to be in chapter 2. She does show your assignment if you want to do the assignment and you're at a realistic point of doing the assignment, meaning you're at a point where you can budget in your lifestyle. I'm not there yet because I'm always over what's needed from me each month.
Uh-huh.
And it's really God and a prayer and my people who support me.
Mm-hmm.
that get me through month to month. But I feel like the way that she breaks it down, if you are ready and you are there, will help you. And she has a part in here where she talks about making saving a bill. So if you look at it, I think if you look at saving as a choice, you'll never fucking do it.
That's a good segue. I think having a high yield savings account helped me.
Okay.
With saving, like, even if it's like $10, $15, $20, and then you build it up like over time, and next thing you know, you got about $500 in there. And I looked at it like a bill. Like, put $15 in here, you know, every month.
But then also, we got to think about it. Like, who do people, I mean, can a lot of people afford to put $15 a month in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. When you have other things to pay for. But, I mean, even if it's like $5, I mean.
Let me tell you something.
But y'all understand, like, some people don't even have $5 to save like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes,
realistically, closer to the end of the month is like the worst time. Because that's when I start sacrificing. And what I try to do is when I get paid, I disperse in my savings. And sometimes I have a savings labeled just in case. I put money in there. Not because I feel like I'm not going to touch it, but I need to know I prepared for if I didn't have it. I need to know I gave the girls money in their accounts when I got paid. And I need to know when I'm getting closer to needing that just in case money. But to be egregious and get paid and not put something for yourself, spend, I feel like mentally that says something about how you trust yourself or how you just dismiss, you're going to fuck up. You always fuck up, so fuck it. And I think a lot of people live like that, where they're just like, fuck it. Why put money in there? Because I know I'm going to use it, I'm going to need it. But most times it's mentally, I need to know I gave a fuck about needing it and setting myself up to have it than just completely acting like, oh, why would I put something over there anyway? And I think mindset-wise, that's the start. It's kind of like if you're an alcoholic and you're just like, you know what? I want to sober up. I don't want to be like this anymore. You have to mentally make sure you don't purposely take your ass to the liquor store and go buy a bottle of liquor and leave it in your house. But if you buy a bottle of liquor and you have it in your house and just like, I'm trying to sober up, that's you lying to yourself. And I feel like a lot of people lie to themselves about what they want to save. So I think, like Kiki said, if you have to start with $5, do $5. If you have to start with $15, do $15. If you want to open an account, put some money in it, tell somebody that you trust that you have this account and you don't want like the details to have access to it, do that too. Because I have an account with Charles and Schwab that I put money in it 4 years ago and I haven't pulled any money out of there. I would like to put more money in it, but it's just like, realistically, Chantal, can you bear knowing you put more money in that and you cannot touch it and you need it?
CDs are good too.
Yes.
For anybody who want to like be strict about it, because you can't pull that money out for a certain period of time under no circumstances.
Which takes discipline.
Yeah.
She also talks about in chapter 2, if you don't make enough, what you can do. So if you're in that boat and you feel like you don't make enough money to be saving, she talked about how you can work with that. She talks about what to do if you're broke and prioritizing your health and your safety. And with that, she talks about what you should prioritize. And she has an assignment under there. How you should separate your funds. Physical banks, online banks, and credit unions. She talks about the difference with that. She talks about checking accounts, different checking accounts. She talks about different savings accounts, how to choose the best online savings account, and all the details you would need with that. So I feel like this is a really good chapter, whether you're ready or you just want to know what your options are. I'm going to read through it this week and get on track so we can do chapter 3. But it's a lot of good information in here. Automatically, I know a lot of what she's going to talk about. I'm not even there yet. But it won't feel so foreign to me, like I can't be there because that's not my life. Which I just hope for a lot of people, it just feels achievable. But I feel like homeboy just got into office. Shit's about to get really real and really nasty. But I feel like it had to get really real and really nasty for people to make some type of change in their personal life of how they do shit. So hopefully this book does good things for each of us and whoever's listening and who's ever reading. But I know a lot of people who are financially set up out of fear. I know a lot of people who are financially set up because they work for themselves and they live under their means. I know a lot of people who are financially able to live a good life, but because they emotionally spend, it's unachievable to them. Which is a mindset thing. And I also know people who shop out of grief. And I think that's something that we talk about a lot, mainly because some people, that's how they survive day to day, is having like a feeling that I don't have this anymore, or I don't have this person. I need to feel happy some way. This is what makes me happy. And regardless of if you make 400K per year or 50K per year, if you feel like that and that's how you make your decisions, you're going to shop. The thing is, can you afford to shop? And that's a whole nother discussion that I think a lot of people are not ready for. But at the same time, I think everything is about balance. And if you're not progressing and your life is not getting better, but you're doing all the nice things while you're living in the project apartment type shit, you're just digging your hole. It's an illusion of comfort. It's like Winter's apartment. They lived in the project, but they had all the nice shit in the apartment. Like, what the fuck? But
there's so many people living like that.
So many people living like that. You wear the best clothes, but you live in the projects. You don't own anything. And I don't want my kids to just know like people live better, but I want them to experience what it's like to live better. And I want to be able to just wake up and be able to pay what needs to be paid and not worry about it. I think a lot of people's miserableness and frustration comes from them knowing like they're spent. Like, I can't do it all, and I feel like I failed at something because I can't do it all and it's all on my plate. But anywho, that's what those two chapters were. Yeah. So what's the next read? The next read is calendar. The next read is going to be... What is this? Okay. It's going to be February 11th.
Okay.
Do chapters 3 and 4. Review it, skim through it, have thoughts. We could talk about whatever specifically y'all want to talk about in it. But, you know, no pressure. That will be after my live show that weekend, so I'll have much to talk about.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, Kiki, what you doing for your birthday?
No idea.
Oh, let's go out to dinner.
We can go out to dinner.
We can go out to dinner.
Yeah. We can, because it's approaching very quickly.
It is. Let's go to that wagon place we were supposed to go to, but we could never make a reservation.
I'll see if I can still make it now since the holiday's over.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be cute.
I'll be getting double meat that week.
Shut up. Yeah, I was talking to this dude who I went out with last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you he'd just be sending me books all day. We'd just be talking about stuff. He works for the federal government, so I was asking him how he felt about today.
Interesting.
Like, well, I'm about to read before I go to bed, so...
Aww.
And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
That's so cute.
Really sweet. Mm. Such a nerd.
I love a nerd.
I love it.
Awkward.
I love a nerd.
And chocolate. Like, he darker than Drew.
Mm.
Man, I'm blushing last night.
Man.
It's refreshing.
I like that.
Mm. And he was married. Yeah, and him and his husband, ex-husband, they divorced in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Huh. 2023, wow.
Yeah, I was like, well, what happened? And he was like, his ex-husband wanted a divorce, and he was like, sure.
Oh.
Sure.
Because he was like, it was bound to happen. He was like, the writing was on the wall. He was like, he just beat me to the punch. And I said, oh, okay.
Hmm.
It's like I was trying to at least stay together so I could pay off some more student loan debt.
Yeah, I guess just it was just the end of their road.
Mm-hmm. So I get that. So I told him about my situation. He looked at me. He was like, "Well, congratulations."
Hmm.
Nah, he cool people.
So, I know people are wondering, but a lot of people who deleted TikTok cannot get TikTok back on their phones because
But why would they delete the app?
Because we thought it was done with. I did it.
I didn't think it was going to be done with.
I thought it was.
It was a temporary ban, yeah, right?
I didn't take it off of my app. I didn't take it off my phone. I kind of left it there. I'm gonna see what happens because I don't feel like it's gonna go away for real.
Right.
So, the access to the app was restored before he even took office. But while companies like Oracle have willingly put the app back online, Apple and Google's app stores haven't restored TikTok or ByteDance. So maybe they're waiting for something else to do it. CapCut is back for the US.
And then also you gotta check to make sure you Meta isn't making you follow Trump.
Oh my God, really?
On TikTok?
Yeah, no, on Insta, because somebody at work just messaged me about it, and then they were like, yeah, make sure they didn't make you automatically follow him.
Am I following Elon Musk on X? Let me see.
The fact that that man did a whole Nazi salute pisses me.
Listen, he's the president, to be honest.
Control.
Yeah, no.
Elon Musk is the president. Donald Trump is just a damn puppet.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, he's a puppet for all this shit.
These folks are crazy.
So Apple is saying they won't return TikTok to the App Store until it's sold to a U.S. buyer. But basically what Trump did is make him let the U.S. have 50% ownership.
Mm.
So... we'll see. I mean, I'm not really hurt by it because most of the people on TikTok follow me on IG, and they know where to find me. But other than that, I'm gonna just still do my post on IG like I do. I'm working on my February calendar. I have to do some more videos because I've been pausing my videos. But other than that,
is IG still the same?
IG is just, you could tell they're trying to figure out what they want to do. They've been trying to hit up different creators and like pay them $10,000 to create on IG and not TikTok on the side to like amp it up to make it seem like people want to be on there. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel authentic. You can tell you don't care about it no more. It's just like, whatever.
Yeah, IG's weird.
Yeah. I'm so old, IG.
Because they dictate so much. It's like, you want to say this, you want to post this, but then they tell you what you can and you can't do. But really, is it a representation of you, or is it them dictating what they want people to see?
Yeah, I just became very, like, I don't know.
Saturated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might get back on there though. I don't know.
Girl, you ain't missing nothing.
You not.
Yeah.
But anywho, y'all enjoy the rest of y'all night.
You too.
Thanks. I'm gonna go to sleep.
I'm about to make my pasta and eat my pasta and meat sauce, and then I'm going to journal and then read.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to catch up on this reading so I have it.
Oh, I'm going to read another book.
Let me tell you something. I'm in the middle of three different books at the same time. I'm just like,
Me too. I'm still reading All About Love.
I got a book that I've been had called Legendborn, and it's about like black people and witches and vampires and stuff, and I still haven't cracked it open yet, so I'm gonna crack it open.
I'm reading this Jerome something book where it's about this couple that's married. Are they married? I think they're married or engaged, a man and a woman, but the woman also has a relationship with a woman that she's trying to make the man okay with her having. And they black. And I'm just like, this is interesting. But I'm in the middle of reading that and finishing that love book and this. And I want to start that Cicely Tyson book before spring. Because I didn't start it. I just have it.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a couple of these books, and then I said once I finish the ones that I got at home, I'm gonna start the ones that he recommended.
Hopefully, I feel better tomorrow and I'll read.
I think I might just start the ones that he recommended, so I can read them. We'll have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a cute date conversation.
Yeah.
Good night. Thank you so much for listening, people.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
We love you guys.
Don't forget to grab some merch and don't be a stranger on Twitter. We'd be talking to it. I did appreciate Casey posting his dick grabbers this morning. Casey's the best man hands.
So what?
What did he post? I didn't see that.
Posted his dick grabbers today.
Oh, my booty and my dick grabbers.
I didn't see that.
So I got a manicure yesterday, and I posted like a little video of my hands, and I said I upgraded my booty and my dick grabbers.
Yes. Oh my god!
Not on Instagram, on Twitter. And then somebody had commented talking about you grab throats too, and then I said depends.
Oh.
But y'all girls spicy.
I told my man I like getting my throat grabbed.
Listen. Same, same.
So from the back, from the front, from the side, you know.
Choke me slightly, please. Take control.
He was like, what do you feel about hickeys? I said, I don't mind them. He was like, I don't want no hickeys. I said, okay. Okay. I said, I'm not showing my body anywhere, so I don't know what you alluding to.
My thing is, like when I talk to different guys, I said, because I feel like I'm so dominant in my walking life,
mm-hmm.
I want somebody to take the reins. If that makes sense.
I feel that.
I just like dominant men, period.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want
to
be in
control. I like a good mix. I just don't want it to feel like it's being forced.
Yeah.
Don't do things because you think I want you to do them.
Uh-huh.
Or look cute somewhere else and so you want to do it. Just do it because you want to do it.
Right.
Yeah. That's who you are. Yeah. Do it because it's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell the difference.
Are you asking? No.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. I got 17 days.
Oh, you ready, huh?
Yes. Over this, like, come on.
You've been practicing your squats, girl.
I've been doing my squats, and he been holding me accountable. He was like, "So, are you working out today?" I was like, "Yes, I was working out last night with him." I said, "You think I should do a plank?" And he was like, "Yeah, I think you should." Oh my gosh, I hate planks. Why did you say yes?
Girl, we get on top.
I know.
So the goal is, but you trying to get that man to put a ring on it.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's a problem. It's just more so like he been holding back all this time. And mentally, I'm just like, oh. I'm prepared, but mentally, I know, like, no, I'm about to be worked.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, okay.
I'm excited for you.
This would be, and then it's like somewhere neither one of us been, and where the show is like 14 minutes away from where we're staying, and then a whole bunch of little restaurants and stuff around there. But everything closes so early. If it's not a bar, it closes at 9.
No.
That's so.
But it's cute. So he was like, today, he was like, well, I wonder what the weather's going to be like. I said, hopefully it's not too cold.
What time is y'all show?
It's 1 p.m. on Saturday till 4.
Okay.
And then he was like, you know, you could go out with your friends after the show. You don't have to, like, leave them. And be antisocial. I was like, nigga, I don't go out. And I only know one person there. Like, it's not like I know a bunch of people that's going to be at the live show there. Like, I only know one person. And so, Glow, which is the person that's doing it, she was like, what do you want to do after the show? I was like, girl, I don't know. I had no idea.
Decompress from the show?
Yes, because when I go there, I'm going Friday. We were going to go to dinner and then get up Saturday morning, have breakfast, then get ready to go to the show, do the show, then go out, and then go back to the room and then go out to dinner.
And then, that's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. And hopefully it goes by quick, and then where I want it to go slower, it goes slower.
Mm-hmm.
And then checkout is Sunday morning at 11, and then we'll find something to do before we leave.
Uh-huh.
And then I took off Monday so I could recoup
Yeah.
So
getting overwhelmed thinking about it.
I know. But at least it's not like footwork. You know what I'm saying? Like New York, you know how you gotta do a lot to get from point A to point B. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving. So he's driving and I'm driving, so it'll be a bit more smoother.
You sound like she's falling asleep.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She do. But anywho, that's it. That's all.
All
right. Bye guys.
I'll talk to y'all later.
Bye. Bye guys.